Welcome to the Envision Together, Going to Our Next Level of Best podcast. I'm your host, Pamela Mashana. Join me on this bi-weekly journey of empowerment, where you'll hear hands-on advice from lifestyle experts, educators, authors, spiritual leaders, and many more who will share tips on how to triumph personally, professionally, and spiritually. We explore timely topics such as overcoming anxiety and fear, educating the reluctant student, cultivating lasting relationships, and strengthening our faith. My hope is that the insights offered on the show will help us envision ourselves using our unique gifts and talents on greater levels for greater purposes. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Envision Together, Going to Our Next Level of Best. Today, I am so excited and pleased to present to everyone Takiya LaShawn. She is a guest with a wealth of experience. She's going to share some of her struggles as well as her celebrations in life. And she just has such in-depth knowledge and insights. I can't wait to hear more about her story and how God has helped her in the process of overcoming and getting to different levels of success as well. So with that, Takiya, will you go ahead and tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah. Hey, Pamela. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for that beautiful intro. So I am, first and foremost, if we want to stack it in order, I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm a lover of Jesus Christ. I am a mother of two amazing young adults, a son who is 20 and a daughter who's 26. And I am also an author, written and published 6 books, an entrepreneur with a foundation and a background in the beauty industry. I always love the scripture that says God gives us beauty for ashes, because he literally put me in the beauty industry and said, now I want you to use this platform to reach others. And I'm a speaker and a mentor, and also a freshly new podcast host. I just launched a podcast this January. And I also have a little bit of history in media as a TV talk show host.
Wow. My goodness. I don't know if I realize all of that. Thanks for sharing. But you know, when you said that, I do believe I read it. I did read that when I was doing my research, but I forgot. So thanks for sharing.
Okay.
But it's great to hear all of that, not in a braggadocious kind of way, but just to help us know who it is we're talking to, who it is that's sharing with us, and gives us an idea of different things that we can glean from. So again, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're going to jump right in. I just told everybody, we have a depth of information we can get from this guest. So Takiya, I'm seeing you as a well we're going to draw from today.
So
well,
we're
going to jump right
I
in there.
Go.
I know you've had some tough situations in life, one of which was a bad marriage. And should I say a bad marriage? A challenging marriage.
And, we could say bad.
Okay. And
but challenging is good too, but we don't have to shy away from that. We can be authentic and truthful about that. No, actually, it wasn't a bad marriage. I take that back. There were some challenges. You're right.
Yeah, because you know, the reason I stay away from words like bad, because there's some good things that can come, like children. And
absolutely,
there's some moments that may have been special. Mm-hmm. So is it bad overall? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So that's why I kind of self-corrected there.
Yeah, but I agree with that.
You have some challenging aspects to that, but I know you've had some other challenges to overcome, and some that have been recent. So I'm just going to say, speak to us about a few of those areas.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, and thank you you are correct in using challenging, because as you said that, when I was like, oh, we could say bad, but no, the marriage itself, it wasn't bad. So I will start there and work up to the challenges, yes, because obviously I married him, so it couldn't have been all bad, right? And I will say I even 100% know in my heart of hearts that I heard from God that this is the man that I have for you. This was my first and only marriage to date, and I will be 47 in less than 24 hours from now. And
Happy
I
birthday.
married you, and I married at the age of, I was 44. So that was only 3 years ago. And so for me to marry at 44, I was someone that I prayed and waited and wanted to be with the right person. And so, and there are so many things, I won't go over that because it's a lot in detail. If we really go, how deep do we want to go draw from this well? There were things that God affirmed and confirmed that said, this is your person. The problem within the marriage is that when you have two people in any situation, a relationship, a marriage, parent and children, a friendship, business partnership, two people have to be on the same page,
It's
okay?
true.
And you can have common goals together and working towards those common goals, two people have to continue to put in the effort and the work to reach those common goals. And so in my marriage, what happened is there was one of us that had their eyes on the prize and working towards the common goal. And there was another, I would say the other wasn't me, that wasn't working towards those common goals. And so the marriage began to disintegrate. And honestly, in that marriage, there were things that started to be revealed and uncovered that he's my now ex-husband, just wasn't truthful about. He wasn't honest about his finances and his status in entrepreneurship, and just things began to come unraveled. And while I was in the midst of that, I'm going to God and going, well, God, we're hitting all these obstacles and running into he's being dishonest, he's lying, he's not being truthful, he's talking to other women. God, I heard you tell me to marry this man, so why are we going through this? And I said all that to say that we talked about this earlier. There's scripture that says your obedience is better than sacrifice. He wasn't obeying, he wasn't doing what God told him to do. And so that began to unravel the marriage. And I stayed in the marriage. We divorced after a year and a half. And when we divorced, well, going back when we separated, when I decided after trying and trying and trying that this is just, it began to impact my health. So I start my mental state started to crumble because of dealing with being told one thing and finding out another. It was almost like being gaslit. And just it started to physically impact my health, the amount of dealing with the stress in the marriage. And so after so long in this, I saw myself, I was physically dying from the stress of it. I mean, my voice was gone. I had all kind of medication that I was on that I was not on prior to getting in the marriage. And it just really began to impact my health and my mental state, and even my own finances and my relationships with those that I love. And so when I separated with the hopes of let's just step back and regroup and allow God to really be in this. And during that time of separation, that's when I would say the stalking started. And I wouldn't give it a title. I didn't recognize it as a title of stalking back then because it was just my thought of he's your husband. He wants to work it out. He doesn't want to let go of the marriage. This is him trying. But as it evolved and there were boundaries broken and space not respected, that's when it started to be a red flag that this is an unhealthy amount of inserting himself into my personal space. And so we divorced, and it was during leading up to the divorce proceeding that it really became impactful that it was actually stalking and that it was something that was a threat to my own personal safety and my life. And that statement came from a police officer One night I was driving from one state to the next. I was going to a conference to speak at a women's conference, and it was an hour away. And I got into the next state, and all of a sudden, I stopped my car to run into a store, and it wouldn't start. And I didn't think anything of it. It was very strange, but I enlisted the
Wow.
help of some passerbys to help figure it out. My ex-husband, well, at the time, he was still my husband, would file for divorce. He shows up in this other state, which seemed at random, in this parking lot to ask what's going on with the car. And
Oh my goodness.
I shared with the gentleman that was helping me, who he was and that we were divorcing. And at this point, he had been sending an excessive amount of text messages and emails and phone calls that were just really inundating my personal space. And so I'd asked him, to give me that space. So when he showed up in another state, it was a little alarming. As it turns out,
A
the gentleman
little.
helping me, as it turns out, the gentleman helping me was a retired police officer. When I shared with him what was going on, it was his response to me that quickened me and really kind of put this fear in me that this is a problem. He said to me, he said, he was an older guy. He said, "Sweetheart, you're my daughter's age." He says, "And I don't want to see anything happen to you." He says, "I've worked in the force for many years and I've seen cases like this and they don't turn out good. And the fact that this
Wow.
guy is popping up in another state and he felt comfortable walking up to this gentleman and asking him questions," he said, "that's not okay." He said, "I need you to go ASAP and file a restraining order." It was in that moment that became very real to me that, oh, this is not just, I want to work things out. This is a problem and it's not safe. And so that started the process of me feeling like I had to guard and protect myself. So I'll give a little pause and a break there and come up for air if you have any questions on that. So.
Well, I am just wondering, what was your state of mind prior to that occurrence with him showing up in another state and the police officer or former police officer sharing that information? And then how did that shift your mental state
Yeah.
afterwards?
So good. So, like I said, prior to this, I wasn't in a state of feeling like I was in any threat, any harm's way. He had, well, let me back up and tell you in the marriage, one of the other things that was a red flag where I felt like God gave me my release to exit the marriage because once we were married, it was almost immediately 2 months in that all of these untruths and these lies started to fill out. And my thought process
What are
being
some of
so
these?
new.
What are some of the untruths?
So, one of the first things, 2 months into the marriage, 2 months, I was filming an episode of my talk show, and we were filming, the camera crew was filming from my home studio this day. And I had purchased him a laptop for Christmas. And it was not uncommon for if his laptop was sitting around, I'd pull it up and do some work. And so he happened, we finished wrapping up a show. I picked up the laptop to check an email or do something with it. And this little window, the second window opens up. And in this window, it's his social media account. And he's at work, he's off at work. And I see this dialogue, this conversation start to come through with him and another woman. So,
Oh my goodness.
because it was opened on his laptop, but he was off at another location on his cell phone, I was real time watching a conversation with my new husband of 2 months
Oh my.
talking to another woman. And he was referring to me as his ex 2 months into the marriage. And he was basically discussing, painting this image or this picture to whomever this woman was of how he brought me into his life and he was providing for me. And I apparently was some sort of burden and he was taking care of all the finances. And it actually was the complete opposite because that was a conversation we'd had earlier that day or the day before about the reality and the state of his finances, I was led to believe that we actually met at, well, we connected at a business retreat. So I'm an entrepreneur. I was invited there as a keynote speaker. Everyone that's at the event is an entrepreneur at a business retreat. So at this business retreat, he had presented himself and he had been validated by others there to be someone that was well off, well established, had, you know, ran his business for X amount of years. And so when we connected and we started getting to know one another and dating, of course, I asked questions. However, I'm doing what I need to do in business. I'm handling my business. I'm assuming he's handling his business. He's telling me he's going to meetings. And I actually looked over a couple of contracts for him. So it looked and felt and seemed legit. When we got married, none of it was legit.
Wait a minute. Was he showing you fake contracts?
Long story short, I would have to say yes. I remember what unraveled was there was a gentleman that he had told me he was in discussions with business meetings consistently when we first met. And I know he would be on the phone and he'd say he was going to meetings, but there was a contract that he kept trying to push through. And for whatever reason, he said this gentleman just was dodging him or avoiding him. And I have experience in contracts. I said, well, you know, let me, do you want, and I'm, you know, trying to be the woman and what submissive, not, I won't say submissive, but let this man run his business and let me not overstep my boundaries.
Yeah, you didn't want to be overbearing or come across nosy.
But when I saw that there was constant friction with completing this contract, I said, well, if you'd like, I can look over the contract and see what's going on here where you guys are not connected.
Can we just pause for a minute? You had intuition, discernment, all kinds of things trying to alert you, and you didn't want to come across in these stereotypical ways that people would view women. Mm-hmm. And that kind of got in the way of you probably seeing the truth that you were being turned on to. How do you think, I don't know, as women, as human beings, where does that come from? As you look at it in retrospect, why do we do that? Why do you think we do that?
I knew that was going to be the question. Like, it just, in short, there's a lot wrapped up in that, but it's like, why do we do that? Why do we second guess? Why do we feel
what do you
like
think you did that?
For me, and believe me, I have asked God and myself a million questions. I have revisited this so much. And why do I do that? That's a really good question. Because I believe for me personally, and I believe for a lot of us, it comes from our history, our background, what we have experienced in our past relationships, or maybe not even relationships, what's been passed down to us physically, ancestrally, generationally, upbringing. We're products of our environment. And I believe that for me, I had a number of things that I can look at and say were probably impacting factors. Number one, my history. Number two, this being my first marriage, and me wanting to, number one, make sure that I hear from God. I want to be a godly wife. God, I want to be a good godly wife. I want to be a Proverbs 31 woman. I want to be a woman of noble character. I want to do my husband good and not harm all the days of his life. I want to even, you know, that horrible, horrible S word. I want to be a submissive wife. He ain't going to run me and control me, but yeah. I want to obey the God in him.
Right.
And so I believe for me, and then also just track record. In my childhood, had a history of abuse. So while I had a father in the home who was my abuser, I didn't have a father. You understand what I'm saying? So when you
so there
have
was a
that,
lot there.
There's a lot.
It's from social cues to, yeah, patterns with history and maybe not even ever having that example up close and comfortable of what it looks like, what it should look like. And even though in a lot of ways God was showing you, you wouldn't listen to that. I think we almost have a fear of being this person that God, not God, society gives us this picture of. You don't want to be that woman. You don't want to be that
right.
Woman. You don't want to be that person.
Yep.
And we will listen more strongly to that garbage than, and the alarm and the truth is going off inside.
And I 100% agree with that. And I am.
And I'll throw some insecurity in there. Sometimes maybe we don't even want to know the truth.
We don't
you don't
want
to face
truth.
The truth.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because that
and
might
it was,
confirm some of our fears or our.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I spot on agree. And, you know, I think even to this day, it's been, I don't want to use the word confusing. Like I said, I've gone to God a lot on this because, again, I waited. I waited. You know, I have two children, so I didn't wait in that area. I don't want to lie there. But I waited. I dated before. I had been proposed to several times by other men, but I heard God give me a no, very firm, very clear. And when God gave me that no, I was like, okay, well, then if God is telling me no, you're not the one. And I walked away from those at least three times in the past, over the past 20 years. So when I met this man, we actually, there was no interest in the beginning. It wasn't like we were dating or I saw him and I was interested in him. I actually, my first encounter, we connected at the business retreat. But my first encounter with this man was 7 months prior to this business retreat. Okay. I had moved into a neighborhood and we had in this neighborhood, we had horses. I had horses. And his company, the company that he was working for, did deliveries and things for like the feed and the hay for the animals. My first encounter with him was placing orders with this company, and he turned out to be the individual that came out. Thought it was his company at the time. He was the individual that came out. And the day that he came to drop off the deliveries, I'm standing in my kitchen washing dishes, and I hear God plainly say, go introduce yourself. And I'm thinking, why? And I thought, oh, well, you know, I reasoned within myself. He's going to be coming on my property, handling the horses. You need to introduce yourself as the person, you know, that lives here. That doesn't seem far-fetched. I go out in the backyard. I walk up to him. I introduced myself. We had communicated via text for placing orders. And so I knew his name. I introduced myself. I extend my hand. I introduced myself. I said, hi, so-and-so. I'm Takiya. And he just gives me this deer caught in the headlight looks. He doesn't respond. He doesn't extend his hand. Just this blank stare. And I said, okay. And I turned on my heels and went back inside. I'm sorry. Before I did that, the deer caught in the headlight stare. And then he finally shakes himself and he says, how do you know my name? And I said, well, I'm the one you've been communicating with. And he goes, oh, okay, okay. And then he goes back to the blank stare. I spin on my heels, I go back, and I literally say to God, I said, that was weird. I don't know what that was. Please don't make me do that again. So that was it. And now I will say this, he attempted to communicate with me for a couple of times after that encounter. And I knew he was attracted. I knew he was interested. It was like little thing. Hey, I forgot to deliver this. Do you want me to come back? And I was like, no, it's fine. And then there was even a text.
I don't know why I'm hearing the beginning signs of the stalker right there.
And you look back at it, looking back at it, like you said, hindsight is 20/20. And you go, I see all. Now, again, Pamela, for me, and I know there's me looking at it going, I saw this. But then there's also, God, I heard you. And so I want y'all to stick with me because I know a lot of times people go, you miss God. You miss God, girl. You did not hear from God. Why would God put you in a situation like this? Why would God put you through that? So, but you're right, the beginnings of the stalking, because it was just little things to try to get back into my space. And I finally cut him off and was like, go ahead.
Just really quick. Did you ever ask him what that stare meant?
Yes, I did. And I'm going to get to that. The business
Okay.
retreat
Okay.
7 months later, I'm going to get, yes, I did.
Okay.
So, where was I at? I'm sorry. I drew a blank.
You were
I'm
talking
so sorry.
about how he kept making excuses
Text
to come
messages.
see you. Yeah.
Yep. And there was a text one day that he says, oh, this is my number, but or my name. And he says, I'm in a relationship, but how'd you get this number? And I'm thinking, why are you texting me? And I knew, I was like, he's reaching to try to communicate. And I said, listen, you know whose number this is. You know what this is a business. Stop. And so he stopped. 7 months didn't think about this man. He'd do the deliveries, but I'd not go out and interact. 7 months go by. I get a call from a friend who says, hey, I'm hosting a business retreat in Tennessee. I'd like to ask you to be the keynote speaker. My first response was, I'm in the middle of a business deal that I've got going on. Let me pray about it because I don't know if I have time for it. I said, let me pray about it. And I immediately hear God tell me, go. So I'm like, okay, no need for me to pray about it. He told me to go. Let me put the dates on my calendar. I go. This is the retreat that I end up running into this gentleman again. It's states away from where we first connected. I didn't know that he would be at the retreat. At this point in time, all I knew was his first name. I didn't know anything about him. They fly me out to the business retreat. I get to the retreat. A gentleman opens the door. He's in a suit. He's looking good, dark skin, bald head, just, you know. And I'm like, you know, I'm there for business. So I notice he's an attractive guy, but my thought process is not, oh, he's, you know, it's just I notice him. But I will tell you, internally, he felt familiar. It's like, I don't know. He just felt familiar. So here's what happens. I introduce myself when he opens the door. I said, hi, I'm Takia. I get a blank deer caught in the stare, did headlight stare, same look I got 7 months prior, but we don't recognize each other because 7 months have gone by. We're in a different environment. We haven't interacted for 7 months. I didn't recognize him at least. And I just thought I was introducing myself to someone that was at the retreat. I get that same stare, you know, blank stare, and I walk on in. And long story short, I speak to the retreat, and here's another hindsight is 2020. I'm speaking, I'm sharing my story like I'm sharing now. I'm an author, an entrepreneur. I've gone through XYZ. You know, I love horses. I'm a single mother. This gentleman is staring a hole in my soul while I'm speaking. And I'm thinking, gosh, this guy is really hanging on to every word. He's really into what I'm saying. Hindsight's 2020, he was studying me. I was giving him the blueprint of who I was. So he approached me at the retreat
Oh
and
my
he starts asking questions. Well, you said you like horses. I do. What do you feed them? That's weird. You know, just really questions that were really weird questions. But then he finally states to me, he says my address, 11 such and such lane. And at that point, this guard goes up, like, who are you and how do you know my address? And then it clicks, and we kind of lock eyes and go, I know you. And he was trying to figure out where he knew me from as well. That moment was my moment of, okay, God, what is this? 7 months ago, you told me to go introduce myself to this man. 7 months later, you tell me to come to this conference where I meet this man. Now, here's the thing. The woman that invited me to the conference is his cousin. I didn't know that. She and I have been friends for 8 years. She didn't know he and I had any interaction. So, do you see how you can kind of go, God, what are you doing here? Okay, because it was too much of a coincidence. Not that the enemy can't set stuff up, but there's nuggets that led up to that. So much affirmation that when we started, we flew back. I flew back to South Carolina, and he says, you know, can I reach out to you? Can I take you out to dinner? And I said, you know, I'm not looking for anything, but let's connect, because for some reason I'm feeling this is a God thing.
Right.
I didn't say that to him, but that's what I'm thinking inside myself. So we start seeing one another as far as just let's meet for dinner, let's get to know each other. And every time we go out, Pamela, people that don't, random people are going, are you guys husband and wife? There's just something about you. There's a glow, there's an anointing. And I'm like, no. So there were so many things that led up to even people in ministry wanted to counsel with us. You know, I see God has put you two together. There was so much comfort, and this is giving me the short version of it. There was so much confirmation of it. But I also look at in those beginning stages where there were red flags, or this hindsight is 2020, there were also people that God strategically placed, counselors, ministers that were like, let's start premarital counseling before we were talking about marriage.
Oh,
There
wow.
were people that God set in place that wanted us to get it right. You
So let
understand what I'm
me ask
saying?
you this. In retrospect, why do you think God wanted you to marry that man?
I believe, and I'm going to take my time and answer this because I have questioned a lot myself, God, and asked for answers, but I want to make this make sense. I want to process it as I say it, because it's twofold. And a lot of time, and I think that I have to peel away the layers so people understand it. One, I believe exactly what scripture says. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. One of the things I've always spoken about myself in seeking God for a spouse, a godly husband, was God, I'm a good thing. Now, that doesn't mean I was perfect, but I know leading up to marriage, I have to walk in a manner. If I want to be a wife, I have to walk like a wife. You don't become a wife when you get married and go, I'm going to start acting like a wife. It's just like an athlete. You're not going to, you know, hit that mark or become the world's greatest or whatever if you're not training for it, up to it. You're not going to, my son's a soccer player. You're not going to get on a soccer field and, you know, win if you haven't conditioned and trained for it. So I, in my walk in Christ and in desiring a godly husband, a spouse, a leader, a Godhead, I knew that I needed to start training and conditioning myself to be a godly wife. And I stand firm on that scripture. I think that's Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. I'm a good thing, God. Show me what that means to be a wife. Show me, you know, down to I can't have all of these friendships with a bunch of men. Not saying you can't be friends with men, but you know what I'm saying? If I got guys and I'm like, oh, I'm lonely and I'm bored and I want to go on a date, let me call. Can't have all of that, because if I'm waiting on my husband, I got to be free and clear for him. I don't want to unpeel all these guys off. So I believe that number one, I was God's answer for this man. Whatever he had gone through in his life. And let me tell you, I will say this because I never want to bash him. I never, even what I've gone through, for me to start speaking about this now, I had to make sure that I heal, because I never want to have resentment. I never want to bash him or put him down. I want to share my story. I want to share my testimony. And he has some excellent qualities and traits about him. And I saw that. That's what I fell in love with. However, I believe I was, and he said this to me later on down the line in that moment, going back to, did you ask him about the deer caught in the headlight stare? When we started dating, he revealed to me, he said, Takiyah, I had prayed to God. I was tired of meeting a certain type of woman and dating and it not working out. He said, I had prayed to God, and I said, God, even make it so simple that the woman that you have for me, she will come to me and introduce me instead of me going. So that deer caught on the headlight stare was his shock at, could this be the one? So the two, why? I believe I was an answer for what he was praying for. We can pray for stuff, but if we get something and we don't know how to treat it, if we're not prepared and ready for it, We can abuse it. We can misuse it because we're not ready for it. All of those ministers and people coming to us in the process of leading up to the marriage and the counseling, that was God structuring and lining us up for him to learn, this is what it means to be a godly husband. This is the gift in the wife I'm giving you, and I'm putting people in your path to show you how to treat her. So I believe he had a good heart. Don't get me wrong. I believe he had a good heart. I believe he had good intentions, but I believe that he refused to surrender and submit to God in certain areas. There was a huge problem with disobedience to the point that we talked about it incessantly as a husband and wife. Like, he would see those things and I'd say, look, can you not see God trying to get your attention here? He knew. So number one, I believe God did this, allowed this because I was the answer. We were supposed to have a great marriage. We were supposed to be an example of ministry. Marriage is a ministry. And we
you
needed
guys
two
did
people
do the
to align.
Counseling?
We did. We did. Ironically enough, just a couple of days ago, I was going through old files on my OneDrive, and I came across we apparently recorded some of those sessions of the counseling. So that was one answer. And number two, now here's the hard answer that might rattle a lot of people or go tilt. Why now, after going through that, being told to marry him? And I'll tell people, the same God that told me to marry him is the same God that told me, I'm releasing you, I'm letting you go. Because I remember one day hearing God tell me, Takiyah, I did not create you to be broken, bruised, battered, betrayed, or belittled. I didn't. So it's killing you. That's it. He told me to get out the way. And when God told me to get out the way, I knew that was my release. Because when you're married, you want to be equally yoked. And if one person who is the husband, who's supposed to be Godhead, is driving a car down the wrong side of the road, you're going to end up over a cliff or burst in flames going into the car that's in front of you. And right. God was telling me, he don't want to do it, and I need you out of this car. And I obeyed. But here's the part, the tilt. Why now am I a victim of intimate spouse stalking with the ex-husband who was the man that I heard God tell me to marry and I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life? Again, it comes down to obedience. It comes down to listening to God and wanting to change and doing the right thing. And there's some traits, obviously, in him that God needed to sort out and work out that he would not allow. And me being that good thing, I love Genesis 2 and 15 when it talks about God created Adam and Eve, and he created Adam and gave him dominion over everything. And then God says he saw the man was alone and it was not good. And God's answer to man not being alone was woman. And God pulled Adam's rib and created woman. Well, if I was created for this man and we came together as one in union, then there's a soul tie. There's an attachment there. And he just, the enemy use that to have my ex-husband, who's now my ex-husband, think that I'm his property. You belong to me. Also, why is this evolving? Because, I mean, it got serious. The stalking, he broke the restraining order. He got arrested. He sat in jail for 6.5 months. He's on house arrest with an ankle monitor right now.
Right.
How
now.
Is this all right now?
Wow.
How is this all God? The part that goes tilt is God has revealed to me, and I've had to pray and ask and cry, maybe there's things, or there are things that God wanted to get right, but because he continued down that path, there's things that God had to expose and uncover. Those are the two words God kept hearing me, giving me, expose and uncover some things. Those were the things God wanted to heal in the marriage, but because he didn't allow that and he continued to perpetuate those things, well, we serve a God who's a God of justice and truth. And if you keep going down a path, then God has to deal with that. He dealt with Adam and Eve. He put them out the garden. He loved them, but he didn't trust them anymore. So now we have repercussions. And I can look at it this way, as God has shown me, I also was the woman that God chose to use to bring about the revelation in his life that you've been going down a path that I'm not pleased with. And I gave you the gift in this wife and you abuse that and misuse that, and now there's repercussions to that. I know that makes a lot of people's mind go tilt, but that's my truth. And I have sought God through tears, and I mean, anxiety, panic attack, depression, doubting myself, suicidal thoughts. I have questioned over and over. And like I shared with you, I'm sitting in my home recording studio. This is my prayer closet. I retreat to this place like nobody's business when I need answers from God. And that's how he's given it to me. And he's a sovereign God. And sometimes we'll know things and sometimes we don't. So I believe wholeheartedly God had good intentions for us. He did. But you can't play with God. You can't. Not when you have someone that's so serious.
Let me just say, listening to you, I'm not a person who gets into the business of telling people what God told them or didn't tell them. I think all of our walks are unique. He may have a path for one person that's not necessarily my path, and vice versa, and everything. And I know that it's been a lot of things that I've gone through where I've asked God why. At the same time, I understand that I've learned tremendous lessons by walking through those valleys, so to speak, that has in the end made me a better person. So it causes me to pause when I say or analyze what's good and what's bad. If I'm a better person, it's good that I walk through this challenging situation, that I walk through this valley. So I don't get into that. I think everybody, you know, if you have your personal walk with God, your personal relationship, I have to trust, unless someone says something that's totally far-fetched, like God told me to kill somebody, can't get with you there.
Yeah, I know.
Crazy. But I'm going to say, your story, as I was listening to you, I kept thinking of Hosea, where God told him to marry a harlot, and
Gomer.
God knew that he would suffer a lot of things through that decision, and yet it still was his will. So sometimes, and in essence, he became a picture of love for a woman who really didn't understand love.
Really didn't understand.
And that. Because of his unconditional love, it becomes a beautiful story for us, because in a way, you know, we do so many bad things. Sometimes it blows our mind. Why would a sovereign God love us? I mean, you could have been a picture for him. You could have been, like I said, I don't get into the business of all of that. God knows what he's doing. And I choose to respect people when they say God led them a certain way, unless, like I told you, it's just really crazy. Then I'm like, can't get with you with that one. But anyway, but I do have to say that I know with so many more things we can talk about, because you're a successful businesswoman. You've gone through, in fact, we might just need to have you back and tell us more of your story, because I want to hear about a lot of your successes too. But I'm going to go ahead and ask you a question that I ask just about every guest, because we are coming to a close for this episode. Regarding this topic of being in an abusive marriage or any type of abusive situation, I guess, what do you know that could be a bridge to help people out of a situation like that and get to their next level of best with situations like this? I'm talking about all of it, the abuse, your processing, psychological journey, all. What comes to mind?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. But I will tell you the first thing, my first honest, authentic response that came to mind is connection with just what we're doing right here. Vulnerability, not necessarily telling that person to be vulnerable, because a lot of us are different. I can get on and I can talk about what I've gone through. I'm comfortable in that space, but there are many that are ashamed of what they've come through, what they're going through. And I think that is the biggest, what's the word? It's the biggest misrepresentation of what abuse does. Abuse tends to make the victim feel ashamed,
Yeah, it's true.
and we start to internalize all that stuff, and it impacts us mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. And honestly, as the victim, we have to learn to take our place of power back. And for everyone, that looks different. Like I said, for me, it was speaking. It was launching the podcast in January and Stalking Awareness Month and taking my voice back and speaking publicly. But creating space for other women to go, I can relate to that, or I can understand that, or I can see that she's doing something. I'm not alone. I'm not the only person going through this. And so,
So let
connection.
me stop you there and ask you a question that's probably similar related, but I ask every guest this too. If the audience forgets everything you've said today, what's the one thing you want them to not forget? Give them that gem.
The one thing I want them to not forget is what we discuss is to not second guess yourself. So even for those of us as believers, like you talked about, discernment and having the unction and the anointing of the Spirit of God, even if there's a listener that isn't connected to God or that doesn't know God or hasn't, you still have what the world would call that gut feeling or something told me, or I just knew. That's your first, that's that unction. And don't second guess that self. I think that I had a conversation with a friend last night and she was second guessing herself on doing something, choosing herself first. We struggle with choosing ourselves first.
Oh,
It is okay
I like that statement.
to choose
Choose
ourselves
yourself first.
first. And a lot of times, as mothers, as nurturers, we give to everything and everyone else where we almost desensitize ourselves from thinking we're worthy enough to choose ourselves first, no matter
You
what that
know what I
looks like.
like about that statement? It's getting to the core of what I was trying to ask you earlier when I said, why do
Dear
we do
God,
that?
bringing it all around. Why do we do
Why
that?
do we do that?
Exactly. Yep. Because you
I'm
won't choose
trying to
ourselves first.
point to all of the knots and twisted yarn or whatever, for lack of a better analogy, that's inside of us that would cause us to choose someone above
To choose someone.
ourselves.
Yeah.
But
I love how to use a ball of yarn also, because I would always explain to people my life is like a ball of yarn. You think of yarn to start that ball, it has to start in the center. It starts with just that beginning, and you wrap and 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 wrap until you have this ball. But if you were to pull that tail in, you would get back to the beginning. And a lot of us, we walk around like that with not getting to the core of who we are,
That's a
choosing
good
ourselves
point.
first, because we've wrapped up all this other stuff or allowed it to. And so so that's beautiful that you would use that analogy or that representation,
And in the
because I tend to say
process,
that
you can get into some knots, that
you can get into
anxiety, the
some
suicidal thoughts, the low
knots.
self-esteem, and all of that stuff. Wow.
Yeah.
So, I would love to have you back and talk more because I just know there's so much more. I've researched you and did a little pre-chat with you, and
Yeah.
it's so much more we could talk about.
Absolutely.
But I wanted to go ahead and hear this part of your story and then us give some tips to people who are listening who may be in similar situations. I even feel led to maybe ask you to pray for the audience. I don't know if I've ever done that before, but that's what just came
Oh, I'm so honored.
to
I love
me.
it.
And
Okay.
then,
Yeah.
and then after you pray, will you go ahead and also let the audience know how they can stay connected with you?
I
I
will.
know you do conferences, just anything you want to share. You have books,
Okay.
anything you want to share, just go ahead and put that out there.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, I feel so honored.
Of
Yes.
course.
And I love, I will give you your flowers, as they say, as we were talking earlier, and you talked about how we are glory carriers, how God sees us, parts of us in Him, and for us to share it. And so to be asked to pray, I thank you for that opportunity just to share that part of God with your listeners and your viewers. So I am going to go ahead and we'll close out in prayer. Lord, I just thank you, God, so much for this opportunity. I thank you for Pamela and the platform that you have given her, that she is just being allowed to be used to offer your voice and the testimonies and the words of encouragement to the listeners, the inspiration. Father, I thank you that your word says that you work all things together for our good. It's for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And so I just speak that over every listener, over every viewer, over every heart, over every home and every household, God, that this episode and those before and those to come, Lord God, that your glory would just be spread abroad, that what has been said has been according to your will, that you've opened the door for me to be vulnerable and to be transparent and to be truthful and authentic, Lord God. And I pray that it has been received with love and understanding. I pray, Father God, for the listener and the viewer who says, Lord, that's me. Lord, I need your strength. Lord, I'm going through that. I'm dealing with that. I can relate to that. Father, I pray and know that you are right there with them. You are with them in the midst of any and everything that they are enduring. And just as we spoke about, God, why? Let them know, God, just as you let me know. You may not always give us the understanding because you are sovereign, but it is okay to ask you why. It is okay to come to you and seek your face because you said you will not turn your face from us. Again, Father, I thank you, Lord God, for just enlightening their understanding, opening the eyes of their understanding. I thank you that there is healing in this episode. I thank you that as this episode and many more to come are played, Lord God, that your healing, that your anointing, that your touch, that your presence, that your favor will be felt, Father God. And I thank you for connection and community. I thank you for what you are doing with Pamela as a connector, Father God, as a leader. I thank you that she, Lord God, is a safe space and a voice, Lord God, to this nation for what you are doing and abroad. I thank you, Father God, that just as you've been a rock and a pillar and a peace and a strength to me, to Pamela, to many, that those who don't know you, Lord God, would ask you to come into their heart today so that they can know you. You know them. You said before you formed us in our mother's womb, you knew us. Lord, I pray over every heart that they know you love them, that they know that you need them, that they know that you have purpose in them. Even in the midst of those deep, dark places, those wounds, Lord, we douse and renounce shame in the name of Jesus. We douse and renounce that now, and we take back our place of power, whether it's in our word or whether it's in our heart. And I thank you, Lord God. I just keep hearing God say connection for those women who are alone, who don't have anyone to talk to. This is their safe space. Lord, I thank you for what you are doing in Pamela and how you take and you use this platform. And I thank you, Lord God, for the many women, Lord God, who you will continue to usher into this safe space for connection, for community, for growth, for healing, for prosperity. Lord, in Jesus' name, I say this prayer and I give you all the glory and all the honor. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And
Lord, thank you,
God
girl.
bless you too. God bless you too, and all that you're
Thank
doing,
you.
and
Thank
everything
you.
that you're doing according to God's call and purpose for your life. In Jesus' name, blessings.
Yes.
Thank
Receive that. I receive that.
you.
So, you told me just to wrap up how everyone can find me.
Yeah. How can we
I
connect
would
with you?
love if people would go over to my podcast on Apple and Spotify, Behind This Smile. I share more of my testimony and stories. You can find me. My social media handle is Your Smile Is Your Weapon. You're going to find that across all platforms,
Your
Instagram,
smile
TikTok.
is your weapon. Your
The smile
smile
is
is
your
your weapon.
weapon.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And that was not my own doing. That was me going through something. And God sent a complete and total stranger to me. And she said, "You keep smiling. You're beautiful. Your smile is your weapon."
Oh,
And I was
wow.
like, wow.
And
So
I just
that's
want
all
to
on my social
encourage
media.
everybody too. You told me a little bit about your podcast, and I got to tell you, I am eager to listen to it myself. So I want to encourage everyone to go over there. Behind the smile, behind the smile.
Behind
And
this smile.
each episode, you're sharing a picture of a smile that you have. And then you're telling us what was really going on behind that
What
smile.
was really going on, girl? Come get the tea.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah.
It has me very interested. Is there anything else
Awesome.
you wanted to tell them about staying connected with you?
That's everything. You know, you can go to my Linktree. Linktree has all of the websites, YouTube, all of that. So Linktree is same thing. Your smile is your weapon. And I just thank you. I would be honored to come back. I love this platform. I love being able to just move freely in my gifts and, you know, talk about my Jesus. And Pamela, you've created an amazing space for that. So thank you so much for the
Oh,
opportunity.
thank you. And I'm so happy that we connected because it was kind of iffy about whether or not we would do this interview today. So thanks so much for making it happen. And it's just been my pleasure to have you on. So, well, we will talk again. I'm certain of it.
We will stay connected.
Well, friends, thanks for joining me for another episode of the Envision Together Going to Our Next Level of Best podcast. I hope today's topic inspired you to envision a brighter future getting to your next level of best and to urge others to reach theirs as well. If you are encouraged by today's episode, subscribe and share it with your family and friends. Also, please write a review. It will help me to reach a wider audience with a message of hope and inspiration. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and share your thoughts about today's episode. Until next time, envision the future you want to see.